Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our second lesson from Philippians chapter 3. Well, what are your qualifications? Well, that's certainly a question that gets asked, particularly like we are and having local elections going on. Got people asking, what are your qualifications? And so people talk about their experience. People talk about how they've never been arrested before. Important things like that, you know, and we're not corrupt. You know, all those kinds of details that are important in these local elections here. And so there are some people out there who are poking and prodding and looking for all kinds of things in their candidate there, wanting to find out if indeed they have experience or maybe looking for dirt on somebody. I don't know. It's either to make themselves look better or make their competition look worse. Such are the things that go on in politics in America today. What are your qualifications? But that also could be a question that could be asked of Paul in our epistle lesson here today. It seems there were folks who were putting up their qualifications that it's important to be a Jew here as a requirement for faith. Now, these folks are putting their confidence, as Paul puts it, in the flesh, meaning their deeds, what they've done according to the law. And that's what they were talking about. And so Paul addresses that very issue really by taking the offensive here and listing his own qualifications. He begins this way. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, under the law, blameless. Now, things that Paul talks about, that you're talking about our qualifications here for faith according to the Jews, he's talking about in fulfilling the law. Paul says he was circumcised on the eighth day, not on the seventh day, not on the ninth day, not 2 weeks after he was born, not 2 months after he was born. Rather, he was fulfilling, his parents fulfilled the law in which male child had to be circumcised on the eighth day. His parents did that for him. And so, talks about how he is a people of Israel. In other words, he's not a convert. It's always been that way. He's of the tribe of Benjamin, and that territory was just north of Jerusalem. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. His heritage, in other words, well, that can be counted through his mother, means that she was a Jew. Okay? His father was a Pharisee. Paul was a Pharisee. And as zeal for the church, yeah, he made sure that those who were the early Christians there were persecuted. He gave his approval for them to be arrested and in turn stoned to death. And as to righteousness, he kept the law. Nobody could point a finger at him saying, hey, you failed to do this. No, he was blameless under the law. No better qualifications for Paul. Nobody could beat him. In fact, as he thought himself, you know, he was a good Jew then, and as a good Jew with all these qualifications here, God must have him be saved. Or so they thought, anyway. Paul had an amazing pedigree. So, what would that be like today? How could we look at something like that? Well, let's say that he wanted to get a home loan. All right, so from the time Paul got his first credit card, he always either paid it at the end of the month or he, you know, always made his payments on time. Never was late, never had to worry about his interest rate going up, you know, if he failed to make one payment on time. In fact, he learned that from his parents. They were good at doing that, so was Paul. He's in good shape. All his student loans are current. Don't have to worry about anything like that. Yeah, in fact, he saved enough out of his paycheck each and every month so that when he would buy a home, he would be able to put that 20% down and get that mortgage. He was in great shape. In fact, I wish he was around. He could go down to Savannah and buy my house. Anyway, but just because you could get a loan in today's market or because you had a good heritage like Paul did, does not mean that you qualify for the most important thing in your life. And what, pray tell, is that? The most important thing in your life is that which qualifies you to get into heaven. Now, Paul goes on to tell us here what those qualifications are. And he puts it in classic Paul form. He says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now Paul tells us that everything that he could do, has done, or that could be done, means nothing in regards to getting into heaven. You cannot earn your way based on keeping the law. You cannot get into heaven based on your parents. You cannot get into heaven because you showed up for every single activity at church thinking, it's like, well, since I went to those things, I don't have to be in worship. You know, I'm still going to be good and get into heaven. That's not going to cut it. You see, you can only get into heaven based on your faith in Christ. Now, you've heard it before. Now, hear it again. It is through Jesus' death on the cross and rising from the grave that earns the potential for you to be saved. It is faith given to you by the grace of God that qualifies you to get into heaven. You see, those who believe and have been baptized, well, they have their sins removed. You are saved. You see, God, in the waters of baptism, when your water was poured upon you, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, God made a promise personal with each and every one of you that indeed your sins are forgiven. And I'm making a promise with you that you will be in heaven with me. You'll have eternal life. And I've given you my Holy Spirit as a deposit that all of my word that I say to you is true. You see, we don't need to consider how good we have to be in order to get in. We don't have to remember if we've gone to church the right number of times in order to get into heaven. We have been forgiven because of Jesus. We get into heaven because Jesus rose from the grave alive, making it possible for us to get there. Now, knowing that then, though, that might put us at risk. And you're thinking, well, how can that put us at risk? Well, basically thinking, it's like, all right, I know I don't need to do anything to get into heaven. That might make us a little bit complacent when it comes time to our faith. In fact, we might be a little slack then in our worship attendance, thinking, it's like, well, I don't have to do anything. Jesus did it for me. Perhaps we might be a little slack in our gifts and tithes. Perhaps we might be a little slack in showing that love and sharing that with others. You see, we're at risk of failing to respond to the love that was first shown us. You see, it's a got to think of it in these terms because it's a great thing that God has done for us. We get to go to heaven. We get to go to a place where there are no financial credit problems at all. We get to go to heaven where we will never, ever have to hear another discussion about presidential tweets ever again on TV. Okay? We will never, ever have to worry about hearing negative campaign advertising. You see, we don't have to worry about the next hurricane that comes or the next shooting that happens. We don't have to worry about illness or death ever again because we will only have everlasting bliss. And that means never having a need of any kind because we will be in heaven. We will be forever grateful for that. And we are qualified to go through faith in Jesus. Knowing this then, well, we are called to respond to that love. And that means that we have a challenge for us each and every day that remains. And Paul talks about those remaining days for us are kind of like a race. He says, we press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, there it's like, hey, getting to go to heaven, that's always in front of us. And it's kind of like the carrot before us. That's the prize that awaits us. You see, we have daily challenges that might keep us away from God, but we do not turn. We take up that challenge and we fight. We fight the other temptations that come our way, temptations that might cause us to sin. Temptations to answer your phone. Temptations, there. Yeah. You'll check it next time, won't you? Yeah. But you see, that's just living out your faith, is it not? We have those kinds of things that come our way. You see, we get strength We get strength by being in worship, by hearing God's word, receiving the sacraments like we will shortly. See, these are all ways in which God comes to us to ensure that that gift he's given to you remains strong. That no matter comes your way, you won't wave and go away. You will be there always. So fear not the events that happen in this world. Rather, take hold of the love shown to you. Press on toward that goal that's before you, heaven. Show that love, share that love, and live that love, because you indeed have been qualified through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.